Okay, we had to give that little musical intro to what we're about to talk about.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Becoming Multidimensional. It is Eliza here with
Christine.
And we're so excited today, like we are every week, to talk about a topic that is so near and dear to my heart and Christine's, because actually, this is where we met. And kind of the foundation of our relationship, as well as just, I would say, pretty foundational to both of our practices now. And we are so excited to share about our experiences and also give you a little bit of the history. And I will just keep building this up, but we are talking about the Arthur Findlay College today.
Yes. So, and I have to give a shout out for this because earlier this week, I had a beautiful client come in and she was telling me, so Katie, thank you for the idea that she listens on her Saturday morning walks. And I said, oh, we're deciding what we're even going to talk about. And Katie said, I would love for you to talk about the Arthur Findlay College. I think that's where you met. And I said, it is. Well, if you're curious about it, there must be other people who are also curious about it. So I want to take this moment to connect with you, our listeners that we love. This is a community that we really want to build. If there's a topic you want us to talk about, there's a question you have, please reach out. We are so excited to hear your ideas. We want to talk about what you want to hear. So please let us know.
100%. So Christine is going to start and she's going to give you a little bit of the background regarding the Arthur Findlay College. But basically, this is where we have studied, this is where we met, and this is where you too can go pursue any interests under the massive umbrella of, I would just say, spiritual development, psychic development, mediumship. I mean, we're gonna go into more specifics about what you can develop there. But first, we think it's important that we just share a little bit of history of how we got here and, you know, what really built the Arthur Findlay College and who built the Arthur Findlay College.
There's so much that has gone into the energy of this incredible building. So the Arthur Findlay College is, they really don't love it being referred to, and I'm playing the Hogwarts music, right? But it is. It's essentially the most, I think, magical place on earth. Truly. So it truly is. And I'm going to go into a little history. I'm actually going to read from my notes. And this is me distilling down so much information to just the cliff notes is really what it is. So I'm going to give you history of just the land that it sits on. So you have a sense of even just the energy of the land that this incredible structure sits on. So I'm going to start this with a quote, which I just love this quote. And the quote goes, and above all, watch with glittering eyes the whole world around you, because the greatest secrets are always hidden in the most unlikely places. Those who don't believe in magic will never find it. Roald Dahl. And I love that quote because you have to, if you're going to go to the Arthur Findlay College, expand your belief system and allow some magic to enter your world, your life, your psyche, because you can't deny it when you're there.
I would say too, if you do go, you will be blown away, even if you're the most closed off person. But if you open yourself up, I mean, the sky's really the limit. And it is so the place, in my experience, you think you're going for one thing and spirit's got a different plan for you. And every time I go there, I think I'm developing my skills, I'm developing my mediumship, I'm working with some of the greatest teachers. And then I go there and there are just, every time I go there, there's a massive, deep soul healing for me. Sometimes, I mean, the last time I was there, it was like an ancestral generational healing that I really could have never expected. So to go in open and to go in like, okay, I'm just going to co-sign this and I'm going to buy into this and I'm going to believe it. You have no idea what you can get from this energy.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. So the Arthur Findlay College is known as the world's foremost college for the advancement of spiritualism psychic studies and sciences. Essentially, this is the Harvard of mediumship psychic development. That's what it is. So I want to, it's in the county, it's called Essex in England. It's about a 2-hour train ride out of London, but an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on your train. So the land itself, like most places in England, is filled with history and so many stories. But this particular land, I did a little bit deeper dive to understand it. And I'm just going to read from my notes because I think it's really interesting to understand the energy of the land that it's sitting on. So the college sits upon land that has been utilized by man for 2,000 years. There were remains of a magnificent Roman villa, which incorporated the present village of Stanstead, Mount Fitchett. The Roman remains may have given rise to the Saxon name Stanstedda, meaning stony place. In 1066, William of Normandy invaded England and became king. To settle debts with knights that fought with him, he gave them land and property. William bestowed on his nephew, Robert Gernon, the lordship of Stanstead and several other lands. Robert built his castle in Stanstead on the site of what was an Iron Age fort and then a Roman flint fort, followed by Viking and Saxon settlements. Robert's son, William, dropped the name Gernon and took the name Mount Fitchett. He is said to have built the original parish church, which is right outside the college. Original parish church dedicated to St. Mary the Virgin, which now stands at the edge of present Stanstead Hall grounds. There is a stony effigy of a knight in the church, which is reputed to be him. In 1215, Baron Richard de Mount Fitchett was one of 25 of the barons that forced King John to sign the Magna Carta. King John eventually sent a small army to Stanstead, laid siege to the castle, and eventually destroyed it. It was about this time the first Stanstead Hall or manor house was built with stones from the castle. From 1400s to 1870s, various owners, not going into all that, the hall burned down twice. In the 1970s, William Fuller Maitland, who's a traveler and art collector, wanted to build a place to house his very extensive, priceless art and artifact collection. He commissioned an architect to build the current Stanstead Hall out of bricks because of less fire damage. But what's really a great thing is in the current hall that he took a lot of elements. So the fireplaces, there are several elements in the house that came from those original buildings. So you still have this energy infused into it. From 1923 to 1964, the Findleys lived there. So in 1923, Arthur Findlay and his wife from Scotland visited the property with a view on buying it and fell in love. After some tough bargaining, they bought it and moved in 1926. In the years to come, he would become an English landowner, farmer, magistrate, and author. He wrote three books that people love. During the Second World War, Stanstead Hall was loaned out to the Ministry of Defense and used as a convalescent hospital by the Red Cross, treating some 5,500 soldiers. And then when the war was over, the Findleys came back to live. So I'm going to tell a little bit about, we're going to come back to Arthur Findlay because he's key here. Arthur Findlay witnessed a live voice medium, which what that means is he was in front of a medium and heard the voice of someone that he knew, maybe a family member, come through this medium. And he was so blown away. He knew it was real. And this, by the way, he was a stockbroker. This was like a businessman. He was not a spiritualist in his early life. He became this. So he spent 5 years just studying this live voice mediumship and with this very scientific approach. And I think that's why currently this school is not, it sounds very wooey, but they're actually really hardcore about being evidential and scientific. And I think that stems from Arthur Findlay.
I have to say too, just now I've heard a little bit about what it takes to actually be an official tutor there. And I will tell you, it is easier to become a doctor. Like if you want to become a doctor, I am pretty sure you have to go through fewer years of education, which we all know being a doctor, you know, it takes so much education and so much training. And from what I've heard, I mean, it is like wild. And so with that, you, by going there, are working with, I mean, there's not a doubt in anyone's mind that, you know, the evidence is so specific, so legit. They've gone through so many different certifications that you're really working with the best of the best. And for me, that is so inspiring. And I love the fact that it is so scientific, because it's really where science and spirit converge, is at the Arthur Findlay College.
That is such a good point, and I entirely agree. It gives it a credibility that is, they're like, no, we don't want to hear from your spirit guides. You can't prove that. Sorry, that's not going to, we're not, like, go do that somewhere else. We're not interested in that here. By the way, I love spirit guides, but I also love going to a place. It's like, if you can't bring the evidence, if someone can't identify it, we're not interested. So it's very, very, very cut and dry of what they're there to study.
I would also love to touch on spiritualism just really quickly, because I think that spiritualism is something that is maybe more known about in Europe and the UK specifically, even though it originated in America, in New York. I believe it was upstate New York. But it's just not as common here. But spiritualism is essentially a religion that believes that you can prove that life continues on after death through mediumship. And it has very interesting early history. So we won't spend all this time to like go into that, but it is a technically a religion. And in the UK, I have seen many spiritualist churches. And so the Spiritualist National Union are behind the Arthur Findlay College. So technically it is a spiritualist college, and there are services. So that really is the foundation as well, which I just want to add really quickly.
Yeah. So you know what this made me think of? One of the tutors when I was there was talking about how the Spiritualist National Union, when Prince Charles and Princess Diana were married, they had some beautiful vase that was given to them as a wedding gift from this religion, the Spiritualist National Union. And it was engraved, right? It was like commemorating their wedding and signed from the Spiritualist National Union. And someone from the church somewhere was with Prince Charles, you know, a couple of years later, and he remembered it and thanked them. It's like, you know, you would think, like, would Prince Charles even know about like some engraved vase? But he did. And he was, the person was shocked that like he remembered, and that even he'd even seen it was like, was an amazing thing. So it is recognized in the UK.
Yeah. And I just want to add too that you do not have to be a spiritualist to attend the Arthur Findlay College. I don't identify as a spiritualist, even though I love them and I love going to spiritualist services, but I don't personally identify as one, and I've never felt any type of way. So they're very welcoming, very inclusive, and honestly, very, I love their services. I think they're so inspiring.
Well, I agree. Well, and talk about, so when you go to the Arthur Findlay College, every Sunday, there is the Sunday service. And Sunday services, I find with the Spiritualist Church, are fun because they're bringing through like people in the crowd. This is platform mediumship. So they give a talk on philosophy, and it's something with a spiritual bent. And then they will maybe have two or three mediums that will take turns and bring through a connection for someone in the crowd. And there's like, trust me, there's like, they're not planting these people. Like, it's not happening. This is real. This is like very legitimate.
Well, and the platform and platform mediumship is such an art. And it's one thing to be a great medium, but then to be a great platform medium takes a whole other, you know, set of skills. So services are really, really incredible. It's so touching too, because they're public. So the mediums on stage say that they're giving a contact. I'm clear. Oh my goodness, this is my loved one. I'm receiving a healing through this experience. And usually it really touches everyone in the audience, because that's one thing that I've learned through this work is so many of our loved ones, so many stories are similar. You know, pain is universal, love is universal. And so to really open up this potentially pretty vulnerable moment to the crowd, but it being such a loving, welcoming, healing environment is so profound, so beautiful. And it really allows our loved ones' memories to stay alive, in my opinion.
It really does. And that's the point of mediumship, right? It is that healing. So like, why are you even interested in doing this? Because it's about healing. It's about your loved ones coming through and letting you know, I'm still with you. I still love you. I'm still watching you. And I still love you, right? And that is really healing.
Yeah. And some of the mediums, I mean, will blow you away, because there's one who has been known to get street addresses. And to me, that is just mind-blowing, because like, it's one thing to get really specific details about someone's occupation, their, you know, family, mm-hmm. how many children they have, where they lived. To me, that is very evidential, right? There's no possible way, you and I've never met, that you could know where my grandfather lived, right? Especially because I'm American, you're from a different country. Like, the possibility that you would have known that my grandfather lived in Ohio is, to me, zero. Some people are still going to say, I don't know. So you have some of the mediums who take it even a step further, and they will tell you these crazy, incredible facts. So this isn't just like, you know, you're buying into this, it's kind of this or that. No, it's really specific. It really will close any doubt that anyone could possibly have. And I'm not a doubter, but I do work with people that have doubts. And we're not saying don't have doubts. Actually, I think that you should. You should have a critical lens and, you know, not just believe what someone off the street tells you. Use discernment.
I have to touch on the street address one, because I know who you're talking about. And there's a story behind this. And you, on our last podcast, you brought up something saying spirit uses your frame of reference. Do you remember, like, they'll use your frame of reference to bring information through. That particular medium who became a medium, he had been a postal worker, a letter carrier. And so like, his whole brain just operated with streets, numbers. Like, he's had this ability because that's what he's spent all day doing. So different mediums will have a different ability, and it comes more naturally to them based on your own personal frame of reference, because most of mediumship really is a blending that's happening. So it's the mediums coming through with information and sort of blending with your energy and using your frame of reference. This is not trans mediumship. This is when you're just doing mediumship. So they are using the information in your field to help bring through information.
That is such a good point. And I love it. I love it. And I love too, for me, the greatest gift, besides obviously the experiences that I've had for myself and my own evolution as a human that have taken place there, because it literally is the most, to me, the energy is so safe. It's so like, you're just coming home. And so in that space, you are open to things that you would typically be a little bit scared to confront, or, you know, you want to keep that under the rug, at least for me. And in that space, I'm really able to like let myself have these really transformational experiences that I can't control, right? This is all spirit. They kind of downloaded in me when it's time to go to the college, what teacher's course I want to take. Mm-hmm. And it's so like aligned. And even just meeting you there, I have to tell the story of how we met, if you don't mind.
Love it.
So if you know me, you know that one of my symbols in life is the Ankh, and it's an ancient Egyptian symbol, and it's the key to life. And I love the Ankh. I've always felt so connected to the Ankh. Years ago in meditation, I was given the download to follow the Ankhs. And in my life, anytime I'm in just the randomest places all over the world, I will see someone wearing an Ankh, having an Ankh sticker on their car, et cetera, et cetera. And I just always take that as a sign, like I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Anyways, I had been desiring to go to the Arthur Findlay College since COVID. I don't remember how I found it, but I do remember it was like peak lockdown, and I was on my computer, and somehow I was on their Wikipedia page. And I was like, how is this place real? What? Like, I must go here. But of course, they were shut down because of COVID. I didn't know when or if they were going to reopen. But I always had it in my heart, like, I must go here. I'm going to do that for myself one day. I'm going to make sure to take myself here. Finally, they reopen. I book a course for the summer, and this was 2 years ago. I get there. First day, we're split up into groups, and we'll deep dive into a little bit more of the structure, but we're all sitting in a circle, and I look down, and the woman next to me on her ankle has what appears to be an Ankh tattoo. So of course, me being someone who cannot keep her mouth shut and has to share everything, starts investigating and interrogating, and turns out that was Christine. And the rest is history.
The rest is history. We were connected from that moment on, and yes, it was beautiful. Eliza just mentioned groups. So I think we should, because people like, what do you do there? How does this work? So I think we should just break it down for the people who've never been there or who may be thinking about going, and what it really entails to be there. So I think we'll sort of start from day one. I mean, so when I go, I typically fly into London and spend a few nights just so I'm on their time zones. It's really hard. I've seen people like fly in from Hawaii and not take a day, and they're wrecked for the whole week. And
I do not recommend it. I've done it. It is the worst move that you can do. Give yourself time.
Yeah. So you want to not be there right before the class and then trying to be sitting in these classes and falling asleep. So I typically fly into London, spend a couple nights alone. I've only ever gone by myself. I may be going with Eliza this summer, which would be a new experience for me. And I just walk around London, do my thing, you know, try to get on track. I take the train. I just take a train straight from London to Stansted. If you're in Europe, you can fly in. There's an airport called the Stansted Airport. So if you fly inside of Europe, it's so affordable, right? I mean, you're flying this summer all over the place. So flying right to Stansted is really doable. But it's, say my flight to London this summer will be $1,500. If I were to try to fly to Stansted, it would be like $3,000. So yeah, obviously I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to fly to London, take the train.
The public transportation is so good in London. It's really like not an issue. I know so many people, so many friends there who will insist upon flying into Stansted. For all the times I've been to AFC, I've never flown into Stansted. I've never had an issue. I kind of love the train. It's like part of my process. You're going to Hogwarts and it goes by so quickly. And it's so easy and affordable.
It really is. And I always meet people on the train, right? It's always kind of fun, you know, find people and they want to know where I'm going, what I'm doing. And they're always like intrigued or when they're going somewhere cool. So then here's the deal though. When you get off the train, I do not recommend getting off the train at the Stansted Airport because it's, I don't know if you've ever done that. I've done it once. And it's a disaster. So it's really hard to get an Uber. There's like Ubers there are really tough and really tricky. So I just walk from the train station to the college, right? It's like what, a mile?
Me too.
Yeah. Me too. I go
Stansted Mount Fitchett.
Yes. So you Stansted Mount Fitchett train station, you know, you roll your bag. The first time I went the back way with the dirt road.
Me too.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, so the people at the gatehouse, they were super cool because it used to be a path to get into the college. There's this back way kind of through town. And my map system was taking me that way.
Wait, okay, two really important questions. One, do you use Apple Maps?
Yes.
Okay, you and I are the only people on the planet who use Apple Maps, and people tell me that this is a serial killer trait, but I ride or die. Wait, this is actually, we're so sisters, I can't even tell you because
I live by my Apple Maps.
Me too. I ride or die for Apple Maps. I'm telling you, Christine, I have met thousands of people and they're all like, you use Apple Maps? Like no one on the planet, only serial killers use Apple Maps. I've never met anyone else who uses Apple Maps, and Apple Maps tells you to go the back way. So of course, the first time I went, I broke in and I literally was like, okay, cool. Like broke through the field. Stop.
Were you the person who climbed the fence?
Yep. And then-
Oh my gosh. Oh, but I did not know you were the fence climber.
We get to the first, this is Christine and I are on the same course. We get there. We're all in a huge assembly in the church. And the psychics, of course, go up and they're giving us a spiel of like, welcome. They have their like English accents. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We just have an announcement for the people that broke through the private property and hopped the fence and came in the back way. That's not allowed. And I started laughing and I was like, me trying to pull a fast one on psychics. Like, it was so brilliant.
I remember that. I'm like, wait, I went though, but I didn't climb the fence. I actually had a conversation like, okay, you can go through, because I saw them like, oh, this is my master telling me, I don't know how to go. They're like, okay, fine, go. So you must have come in after me. And they were like, I'm like, we're done. We're like locking this up, because they wouldn't have been. And then you climb the fence. I love finding out that you were the fence climber. Okay. That's
so good.
Does that
surprise you? Isn't that the most like, no. Duh, who else would have climbed the fence?
I'm just so glad to have that confirmed. That's so good. So, okay. So don't climb the fence. The people who live at the gatehouse are really irritated with the students. And by the way, the locals don't call it Stansted Hall. They call it the Spooky Hall. Right. So I'm sure they're like, all of these people from all over the world, you know, traipsing through their property. By the way, it's a super cool house, that gatehouse. So anyhow, you can go on the main road and with your bag, and day one, which is a Saturday, you just check in on a Saturday. And Eliza just confirmed check-in is between 3 and 5. They will not give you your room before then. You can drop your bag and go walk somewhere else if you want to do that, but you are not getting, trust me, I've tried, you are not getting your room before 3 p.m. So you arrive, you get there, get settled into your room. And okay, I probably shouldn't say this, but I will, my first time there. There's the main hall house, okay, the castle. And then they have this other building, the clock tower, which is this other building. And then another annex. I've never seen the annex, right? And I don't want to go to the annex. But my first time was in this off property, and there's an issue with like the rooms are actually a little bit newer and nicer. You can have like a private bathroom, which is nice. Otherwise, you're like, it's shared bathrooms. This is, by the way, this is not luxury travel. Just like, no, don't expect like, seasons.
It's like classic, cute castle, ancient vibes.
Communal,
but I do know, life hack, there is a secret bathroom that is like in this like very dubious wing of the castle, and it has a shower in it and no one knows about it and no one's ever there. So me, also the single rooms are very hard to come by. You have to sign up really, really early. I don't really like live my life in advance. So I always end up sharing, and I've met some of the greatest friends through sharing. But I've had to get very resourceful, and I've had to learn how to hack the system. This bathroom I will show you, because no one's ever there. They have a great shower, and that's where I'm getting all my fabulous runway looks ready for my platform trainings.
Okay, I'm so excited to find about the secret Hogwarts bathroom. Okay, so so the annex. So here's the deal. So I have some stories about the annex, but at nighttime, we're going to get to this, but there's a bar that everyone goes to. It's super fun. And if you're staying in the clock tower, that means good chance you're walking by yourself in the pitch black through. I mean, there's like this like cobblestone path or gravel path, but it's super spooky and scary. And apparently there's a moody badger that lives under the clock tower. So when I hear a British person say, oh, he's just a little bit moody, I hear he's super vicious. That's code for like, be careful. If he's moody, like don't go near him. So I would prefer staying in the main castle and not having to do like a boozy walk, deal with moody badger and anything else lurking around, you know, the English countryside to get to my room.
Whatever haunted spirits are there. And so the bar is in the castle, just to clarify for everyone, which is amazing. It opens at 9:30 every night after your very long day of being with spirit, which I love, because Christine's same as me. We're not big drinkers, but there's something about being there that it's just really nice to have a glass of red wine after a very long day's work. And it's such a beautiful space because you connect with everyone at the bar. I mean, you're up till like 1 in the morning laughing, sharing stories, on Thursday, there's a disco, everyone's dancing, and people like let loose. It's amazing. I will never forget Madonna came on, and I just abruptly ended my conversation, got up, and I thought I was at the club.
Well, you were. You were. But so here's the thing that's so fun is it's essential, like, especially in the summertime, right? It's like summer camp for psychics and mediumships. They're from all over the world. You all have this shared common interest. You could sit down and talk to almost anyone and have, and it's been, you know, they'll have a week, this Italian week or, you know, Swedish week, whatever. And they'll be in those languages, right? But typically everyone there speaks English. The classes are in English. And so you're meeting these amazing people from all around the world and having these incredible, so you want to go to the bar. And by the way, the bar is super dangerous because the Brits, like, they know how to drink and they take it seriously. So when you go to order a glass of wine, you can have small, medium, or large. And like, no joke, the large is like a mega pint. It's like a half bottle. It's huge. And it's like $3. It's nothing.
They always drag me because they'll be like, you're sober. And I've had like, you know, I cap out at one drink 9 times out of 10. So it's like, I've had a gin and tonic. I'm done. And all of my friends will be like, oh, you're so sober. I'm like, sober? You just saw me drink like an entire thing of gin. But everyone's just good vibes, honestly. And so playful, so fun. And I'm always impressed with everyone outside of America because they all speak like 7 languages. And I'm like, I barely speak English.
I know. It's embarrassing. So with the crowd, this is a funny story. The first time we were there. So there's also this really great, right off the bar, there is this really beautiful little courtyard. And there's a little like fountain in there. And there's all these pretty flowers. And we'll have breaks. And everyone will go outside to the courtyard during these breaks and unwind and, you know, sit and chit chat and talk. And I took a little video or a picture of this group. And it's mostly women. There's like 3 men who typically go to these things.
Well, that was our first course. But the second time I was there, it was like completely full of men. I was shook to my core.
There's always like a few token men, but okay, this will be interesting this summer to see what happens.
Yeah, no, it was like full of men. The only one time I've been there, it's been very male heavy, but the other 2 times, more female energy, which I love.
So this particular time I sent this like video, like spam, there's like 50 people sitting outside. We're all having a cocktail even sitting out. Maybe it was early. I don't know. It wouldn't have been 9:30 yet. So it was a break. Anyhow, my husband forever has had this thing. I'll give some piece of information. And he said, oh, where did you pick that up from? The Psychic Wives Network? Kind of kidding and joking. So the Psychic Wives Network has been this joke in our family for, you know, 15 years. And when I sent the picture to my family, my son, Sky, wrote, oh my God, Mom has quite literally landed in the Psychic Wives Network.
So, oh my God. And love it.
I mean, it is true. I'm like, yes, I have arrived. I'm in Nirvana.
And also, I have to say, it's all different levels. So you don't have to be a professional medium to come to the college. I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions I've heard. People are like, what kind of entrance test did you have to take? I'm like, none. You just kind of let them know how much experience you have, and everyone's psychic there, so they intuitively know which group to put you in.
Right. Well, and it's interesting with the groups so we're talking back to day one, right? When you first arrive, you do get typically put in these groups. And I've been there both ways where you've been, like the first time you and I went, we were put in the intermediate group, and that was our first time there. Right. So we were with, I can't remember his name. Great medium. And anyhow, he intuitively, like he grouped us. And so we were in an intermediate level that first time that we were there, which is great. And by the way, you don't want to get pushed to, like, I don't know that I ever need to be pushed to be in the advanced group because it's pretty stressful. There's a lot of extra pressure in that group of the information you're bringing forward. I'm like, I'm okay wherever you want to put me.
The second time I was put in the advanced group and I walked in and you went in a circle and they were like, how long have you been doing this? Like, how long have you been developing? And I'm always also the youngest person there. which is great. You know, I don't care either way. And everyone's going around in a circle and they're like, I've been doing this for 30 years. I've been doing this for 25 years. I've been doing this for 15 years. And as they're each sharing, I'm like sinking lower and lower and lower into my seat going, oh my God, they've made such a mistake. What am I going to do this week? Like, I'm in the wrong group, blah, 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 blah. I was like freaking out. They come to me. I'm like, oh, I've, you know, I've been doing this for, I don't even know, 4 years, like, focus, professional development. Yeah. I've obviously been a medium since I was a child. And I literally thought I was screwed, but I just kind of was like, you know what? I'm already screwed. Let me just take all of the expectations. Like, I'm already going to be the worst. And I shocked myself. So, and I will say it also, the groups don't always, like when we were in the intermediate group, I felt like, you know, I was learning from some of our group. And I was like, wow, you know, I feel like I'm learning so much. I'm so inspired. So it really, it's just like the cocktail of all the energies there. And not to say that I wasn't learning from the advanced group. I definitely was, but I really shocked myself. And I was like, oh, I actually deserve to be here.
I love that. And that makes sense. And sometimes they actually do a mixed group where they're not putting advanced, intermediate, beginner together. So you could be with like everyone is mixed up. So, but that happens on day one. You will be put into groups and you pretty much don't deviate. Your group is your group, and you have three breakout groups during the day, right? So what starts is, Eliza, do you want to talk about like day one after you check in, like what happens day one?
Okay. So you go to dinner, and this is actually so important, like life hack for you going to AFC. The technical rule is, you have to pick a spot in the dining hall, and that's your spot for the week. So you need to be really careful about where you sit, because that group of people you're going to be having breakfast, lunch, and dinner with for 7 days. And it can be the thing where you make your greatest lifelong friends from that squad, or, you know, maybe it's not you don't gel as much. And, so when you go into it, I would just say, like, let your spirit guide you, because I've had some of the best conversations at the dinner table. And then also, you know, I've had weeks where I'm happy, but it's not, maybe I should have picked differently. So
yes, I agree. Like that, I would say, like, what that is probably like the most important decision you're going to make all week is where, like, I hang back. I'm not one of the first people to sit down. I'm like, I will go through the line like a little bit, like three quarters back, so there's still seats open, but I have a sense of where I want to be a little bit. And I've been lucky so far. It's worked out for me. Made great friends, beautiful, you know, people, like really fun conversations. Really important piece of the whole week.
You go to dinner, and I mean, the schedule gets pretty repetitive. So after a few days, you kind of know where you need to be. But after dinner, there's usually either like a group, a workshop. Sometimes it's the whole course combined. It's a bigger workshop, or you're going to a service, or, you know, there's something, the 7:30 slot. So yes, it's like 7:30 to 9:30. And then at 9:30, you're done. It's time to hit the bar. You wake up the next day, get up. Breakfast is at 8 a.m. And I am a stickler to being in line before 8 a.m. because there is a banana shortage at the AFC. And I'm not even kidding. Like, if you know me, you know, if I don't have a banana in the morning, like, the day is ruined. And I make it very apparent to everyone on the course that, like, one of the four bananas that they have for 100 people. And by the way, they have so much food, but for whatever reason, the bananas are just like not as prevalent. So I just need to be there stat, get my banana, get my yogurt, sit down, have my 14 cups of coffee. And then
we're going into town and buying bananas this summer. We're not going to have the shortage.
I need to come with bananas. I need to come with bananas and some protein bars, because also, you know, you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but, and you have tea and coffee, but there's not like, you know, a lot of snacks available until the bar opens. So that's another way that I've kind of learned, like, I should probably have like some snacks on hand just in case my blood sugar gets crazy.
And they feed, like, there's plenty of food. And, you know, if you have a requirement, you, they'll ask you when you sign up, are you gluten sensitive? Are you vegan? Are you vegetarian? So they really do their best to really like feed everyone well and have food that everyone can eat. But I, the last time I was there, I walked into town and I was like, I just need like my own like fruit. I need some oranges. I need some apples in my room. I need some just like more fresh stuff for me. I feel better. Even though they do a great job.
Totally. So after breakfast, you have meditation, which I love. And I'm not one who naturally like meditates well because obviously I'm wired 24/7, but they do an amazing job. Everyone, I think also you just feel the energy, the collective energy. So you all do a sitting in the power meditation. And usually there's like three tutors, which are the teachers on a course. And so they rotate. So you get a new teacher each day. And sometimes there's music, sometimes it's guided, sometimes it's silent. So it's nice because there's quite a lot of variation. And then you dive into your groups. And so,
hold on. There's one thing in between. You have an hour of like philosophy.
So, do you know what? The last course I was on didn't do that.
Oh, interesting. So you could have that. So it could go either way.
Actually, I think that I'm just blacking that out. I feel like there was.
So it's really cool. And you want to bring a notebook because it's like, it's a wealth of information. If you are on a course where they do this hour of sort of philosophy and talking about spirit.
I think you're right. And I am just omitting and forgetting because the courses are all run a little bit differently. So there's like different workshops, different groups. But I think you're right. I think there was philosophy.
Well, so often. Okay. Yeah. There's a talk, philosophy, something for an hour typically. And then you will break for tea and coffee. I mean, like they're taking care of you. Break for tea and coffee. Then you go into your first group. And then your groups are, you're going to be doing exercises. And this is where you're practicing. And I mean, we could spend a lot of time talking about different exercises that you do. They do really great things to develop you. So, but you may be talking in front of the group doing platform work. You'll be working one-on-one with people doing readings for each other. So you're spending about an hour or an hour and a half in each, maybe it's an hour and a half in each group. And you're working with each other to really develop your skills and practice. And maybe something like, they may hand you like, walk around with a handful of ribbons and say, what ribbon are you drawn to? And then you'll take a ribbon and then you end up doing a reading based on the ribbon. I mean, or it can be, there's so many.
We did that. You and I were in the same group when we did that. And it was incredible because, so we're walking around, we're picking a ribbon. We don't know who we're partnered with yet. Anyways, we picked the ribbons first. The lady that I was partnered with had a hot pink ribbon. And then her contact was actually my great aunt who shared a memory at my bat mitzvah. Well, my bat mitzvah's theme was hot pink. And so it was this beautiful, like they always talk about the spirit realm being such an intelligence. And that also, you know, factors into the conversation on time and how time works, because how could she possibly have intuitively picked that ribbon not knowing that she was going to be partnered with me? And not knowing who the contact was going to be. And yet it was this beautiful story that ended up coming together.
Well, so the same thing. I remember that exercise too. So I was partnered with Ganilla, who we were just talking about. Ganilla, hello, if you're listening, who may come and join
love
us.
Love you.
Love you, Ganilla. She picked a light gray. And so she brought through my grandmother. And when she was holding the ribbon, she was like doing these very soft and gentle hand motions. And it was a color that my Nene wore a lot. And the way she was talking and moving her hands, I could feel the energy of my Nene coming through. And she brought through evidential in that color was like very, she was very balanced, like subtle, soft person. It was a soft, really pretty soft gray. Again, same thing. How could she have known to have pulled that? I mean, she picked, that's what she pulled. So that's just one example of an exercise. There's, you'll be doing each. So you have three groups and you'll be doing three different exercises each time. I was going to talk about going, I was going to move on from there. So if you have something to add.
Oh, I was just going to say that, like, also the friendships, obviously you guys know Christina and I are ride or dies, but Christina is not the only amazing person I've met there. Every time I go on a course, I literally meet friends for life, family for life. Mm-hmm. You know, I've now gotten to travel to so many amazing places that I probably would have never been to had I not made friends all over the world. And there's just this through line of spirit. And obviously, you know, this is our heart and soul is spirit. So to find a connection, again, your lives may be totally different. Like, we're all in different stages of our lives, different circumstances, different occupations even, but this mm-hmm. is what bonds us. And I literally talk to AFC people every day. They're like the heartbeat mm-hmm. of my life. And I just am so grateful for all of the friends that I've made.
You can make friends later in life too. I'm in my 50s and making all of these amazing friends around the world. It's, you know, when you have this love and passion, when you're already just so in sync and aligned. Okay, so you break for lunch. Right. And then you have like an hour, I think. I forget. It's an hour and a half. Lunch, and people will go back to their room, maybe take a rest, take a walk. Because it's a lot of sitting, that's the one I would say probably the most challenging part for me is there's not a lot of exercise. So I try to fit in a little movement because sitting for a long time just is not comfortable for me. I have to be a little bit more active than that. So I'll usually go for a walk at lunch after I have lunch. Then you go back and you have your group, another group, break for tea and coffee, another group, then you have dinner, and then you have your 7:30 group. And these are the really fun groups. I don't know about the groups. We've had fun groups. This is where you sign up. Sometimes you can sign up for what you want to experience. So, one week, this was really fun. There's one particular teacher who I just love. I mean, I would want to like be his roommate somehow because he's Tony Stockwell. He is this fantastic, fabulous, hysterical British medium. And he's one of the top mediums in the world. He's incredible. I mean, has a huge following. People love him. And there's a reason for it. He's just a beautiful, beautiful being. So for example, like there was one night that Tony was giving a demonstration of trance, and he's an incredible trance medium. And going in, talking about why is this Hogwarts? So here are the kind of things that you can see. So these breakout groups, when you particularly see your teachers and tutors doing like their magic, is you really like see that magic is real. Tony, he has a guide, even though Tony's a total rule breaker. He's like, look, I'm amazed that I'm allowed to even come here. I'm constantly breaking rules, saying things I'm not supposed to say, but he's so fabulous that they accept him with all of his rule breaking. So he has a guide. It's like Tibetan or guide. He remembers a past life in a monastery where he fell off a cliff and died. This was his teacher from that life who is with him now. That's kind of the story of this particular guide that Tony brings through. Tony's face transfigured before the room into the sky. And Tony will say, look, transfiguration doesn't just happen. The energy of the room kind of has to be just right for this phenomenon to take place. But everyone could see it. Suddenly, Tony's face becomes this Asian or Tibetan guide where you see someone else. And people, I didn't see this, but people have told stories where he'll bring through different people and that his face just changes into different people. Incredible.
Yeah, another one of my favorite tutors, Bill Thompson, similar, an incredible trance medium. And I have chills even like recounting the story. He is a guide who would come through and we could ask the guide questions. And it was... Yeah. Just life-changing. And again, his whole face, it's like some Harry, back to Harry Potter. it's some Harry Potter level magic that happens there. And you're just like, wait, what? You could be in this world. You could be like the most spiritual person and you will still be blown away. This place is just pure magic. And the people there are, like I've said, just some of the greatest people, the teachers, and every teacher there is just so incredible in their own right. And I just encourage everyone to try lots of different teachers.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to find a bad one there, what's real. So, and you talk about Bill Thompson. When I was there a week and Bill did a demonstration. And one of the things you notice is the atmosphere in the room changes. Suddenly it's almost like, imagine feeling a cool mist, kind of like the cool calming mist begins to roll in and the room feels physically colder. I don't know if you've experienced that, but it's this atmospheric change that happens in the room where you're like, I know something's about to happen. You can feel it. And the whole vibration of the room is shifted. Bill's great. So another thing I've seen where I actually did with them and experienced, it's like one night they do this thing called table tipping. Have you been there for any table tipping?
No.
Yeah. So they bring a table in and so you basically call in the spirits and they work through you and you touch the tops of the table with like, you're not holding it underneath. You're touching it, just giving it your energy. And the table lifts up off the ground and they'll start like rolling and moving around. And so I've seen the tables like rolling and moving. There's no way. And by the way, you've looked at them. There's no magnets or this is not a high tech place. Trust me. There's nothing like that happening. And some people have seen tables like jumping up and down. And this guy from Scotland said he was at a bar and they were doing this in Scotland. And the table suddenly got up and like flew across the room by itself. I didn't see that. It's a story I've heard, but I've definitely been part of the table tipping. I was, you know, holding it and watched the table move and turn and shift. Another night we did one called a voice box. Did you ever do the voice box?
No.
Okay. So it's an actual device. And so this is the evening kind of, you know, you have these groups you can break into in the evening and what you may end up doing. So the voice box is picking up all this like static. Imagine that's like just sound. And you can, it's somehow spirit is using these sounds to form a word. Okay. And you can ask it a question. And when it came to me, you're supposed to ask, like, who do I want to hear from? I wanted to hear from my grandmother, Mayor. And the woman who was holding the voice box, I'm not saying it out loud. I'm thinking I want to hear from Mayor. And the voice box said, Shirley. That was her name. So the voice box, I mean, we're talking magic. We're not kidding when we say this is a magical place. So look, the building is, so I think that gives sort of, you know, then you do that, then you go to the bar and you talk about all these things you've experienced, right? And then rinse, repeat, you know, until the last day. The last day is breakfast. You're out, right? Then you leave, right? Like everyone's out straight after breakfast so they can get ready for the next group that's coming in. I do think that it warrants, before we wrap up, just giving some homage to some of the original people that were here in the school. And, you know, Arthur Findlay obviously studied it really intensively. He would hold seances in the building. I mean, it's ripe with spirit activity, obviously. So he was well known, like once he got into this, well known for holding these seances. And he was really good friends with Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote Sherlock Holmes. Like he and his wife would go and be part of these seances. There's some talk Winston Churchill is somehow, I guess Winston Churchill gave some prophecies. He sort of made spiritualism, I think, a little bit more accepted. I'm not sure exactly how that ties in. There is also talk of royalty that would go there, but unnamed royalty. So I also read, you know, Queen Elizabeth, she had one of her like doctors had a crystal ball, like used it for scrying. And but anyhow, so royalty came, but like secretly, to see these seances. So then fast forward, right? So that was Arthur Finley's time. Gordon Higginson, one of the world's best mediums, would be have to, like, he's really responsible for getting the school to where it is now. He took the helm. He was like the president of the Spiritualist National Union and really brought the school to where it, to be a thriving place, to have this college for mediums to develop, fulfilling Arthur Finley's dream of having this college. Now, he was supposed to be able to do these, what's the name for it, where this like ether, did you ever hear these stories where it was like ectoplasm would come and form, like this ectoplasm would come and form like the visage of a person, like their face or what they look like. And I have never seen that. I don't know if that still happens. They talk about how mediumship can change a little bit over time. Like for a while, there's a certain way spirit comes through, and then it may change a little bit more. It's evolving, it's shifting, like everything in life is. I would love to see that. I have seen ectoplasm, it's a whole other story, but not in terms of mediumship at the school. So Gordon Higginson was really like instrumental in bringing this through, and the Eliza was saying that the training and the testing that these tutors go through, they will have to get up and do these incredible feats in front of a room full of very talented, gifted mediums to be able to get their certification and pass it. And so pretty magical things happen during those testing periods. Also, one other thing that they have at the college is they'll have healers come in who are like certified healers, and it's a really lovely thing. It's all donation based, and they sit in a room and they bring through spiritual energy healing. And it's just very like a lovely, relaxing, gentle kind of healing. Okay, hold on. I know we don't like going too long, but I do feel like telling a couple stories, personal stories from the college is worth it, right? Some of our personal funny experiences.
Oh yes, definitely. I also just want to add too, like my biggest piece of advice for people who have not been to the college but want to go, because I went, and it's so easy to have all these high expectations of yourself. And the first time I went, I had such high expectations. I was like, you have to be the best because you're with the best. And it is detrimental. So don't have any expectations. Like, be humble, come in open, and just more in like the receiving mode than the having to prove yourself mode. Because as soon as I shifted that within myself, it was a totally different experience. And I've just seen that even with friends and colleagues, they'll tell you the same thing. Expectations are a killer.
Yeah. I mean, it should be joyful. It should be fun. It should be play, right? You're going to do your best work when you're playing with it.
And you're not feeling like, yeah, when you're not like thinking anyone's judging you, because no one is. Everyone is so loving and supportive there. It's easy when you're with a bunch of strangers to think, oh my God, well, if I don't, you know, do my best, like, is everyone going to think I'm a bad medium? And literally not one time. Everyone is so unbelievably supportive.
It's so supportive. And by the way, like, well, we can get more into like the mediumship piece. I'm not going to diverge with that. So I love this story about Tina, who Eliza also knows. So our first time there, of course, I'm hitting the bar every night and staying at the clock tower with the Moody Badger. So there's this woman from Manchester who also is staying in the clock tower. So we'd like, okay, we're both staying there. We both like the bar. Let's walk back together. So we're not walking through this like Werewolf of London scene out in the English countryside alone. So it's a little scary. So I'm like, great, I have a partner. Okay, I'm good. So like second day in after we've partnered up, Tina comes in, and Tina is like haggard. She's had a really rough night. Like, what happened? I had to move. Selfishly, I'm like, oh, now I've got to like do the walk alone. This is horrible. What happened to poor Tina is Tina that night, like I go to my room, she goes to her room. She's deathly allergic to bees and yellow jackets. Somehow there was a hive that got loose in her room. And like, she walks, opens the door. There is like seven yellow jackets flying around. So she closes the door, and this is like 11:30, 12 at night, right? And she's like, oh my God, what am I? I'm going to sleep in my car. And she's like, okay. She tries to get comfy in her car. She can't. So she goes back to the castle house, finds somebody to help her. She's like, look, I'm in this situation. So they're super accommodating and nice. They go to her room. They grab some pajamas so she has something to sleep in. Give her, and they find another room in the castle. So she finally, and now we're, this is like 2-3 a.m., right? Now this, after all this is like undone. She lays down on the bed and looks up, and there's a chandelier over her, and the chandelier just starts like spinning. And she, after everything she'd been, she's like, I don't even care. You can spin all you want. Right? So like, I've seen worse tonight. Like, I don't even care. You just throw your best at me. Like, you're like, you can't touch me. So I love that story. And then, this is terrible. I'm going to admit like my mischievous side. Like, this is a place you would definitely want to pull a prank, right? Like, for sure. Because everything is heightened there in terms of spiritual activity. One morning I'm sitting with like my table, and this woman from LA, I don't know why she admits that she sleeps in a white Victorian nightgown. And I was like, really? I'm like, and you have it with you? She said, yes. And I said, I swear to God, I will pay you $100 like cash if you will put that on tonight and kind of pull your hair forward and then just slowly roam the halls. Because you have to get up to go to the bathroom, and because there are communal bathrooms in the castle. Can you imagine seeing somebody like this visage slowly walking through the castle? We may need to bring one this summer.
We may. Oh my gosh. It's hilarious. Once I found out Christine was a Scorpio, I knew she had a mischievous side.
It's not all just peace, love, and light.
One of my favorite little stories from the last time I was there was, so for me, it's such a fun part of AFC is like, I love a fashion show. So I love like feeling like I'm back in school and I'm wearing like my uniform and I'm planning out all these fun outfits. Anyways, every day I just am inspired. Okay, what do I want to wear today? And when I really like my clothes, it inspires me to be the best medium. Mm-hmm. So I start coming down to breakfast every morning. And one of my dear friends who I love so much, who really is like a kindred spirit soul sister, her name is Naomi. She and I start realizing that we're like wearing the same thing every day, except, you know, in different variations. Mine's like a little bit hooker version. And mine's the crop top. And she's actually dressed like appropriately. But I remember it would be like, I'm wearing black and white polka dots. She comes down to breakfast, she's in black and white polka dots. And we would just kind of acknowledge and be like, oh my God, so cute. But it kept happening. And I loved it because we were in the same group and it was like we were tapping into each other's energy. And then towards the end of the week, one of my teachers who I love Lynn so much. Yes. She inspires me so much. Lynn and I start wearing the same outfits to the bar. And every night I was like, can we please take a selfie? Like, we're literally matching yet again. You're in a black, you know, blouse and jeans, and I'm in a black blouse and jeans. And I kind of conned Lynn into taking a few pictures with me, which I'm just grateful to have because I love her and I'm a fangirl.
I love it. You know, I think she does a lot of work with Tony Stockwell too. So it kind of makes sense. Yeah. So that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So look, the long and the short is we're already at an hour pretty much. We didn't even okay. I'm going to give one last little piece of advice. We'll talk more about it, AFC, but we're really at kind of the end of the line, but there's a lot more to say, obviously. When you go to sign up for your class, like read the description of what the class is, because if you're not an artist and you sign up for an orograph class, what that means is that you will be having to not only bring through a contact, but also draw a portrait of them, which if that were me, it would be like, as no one would recognize my portrait 1000%. People love this. They'll do a platform mediumship where one, like if you have the tutors, one of the tutors who's an artist and does this will be drawing, and they bring through the same contact, but it's all mental, right? So someone's bringing through information and they're confirming it with someone in the audience while the other medium's up there doing this portrait. And then like they'll see who that person was in their life, and then they will turn it around at the end and give it to the person who it was for, and that usually cry, oh my God, that's my, you know, my grandmother or my whoever it is, right? And so it's a very accurate representation of who it was. It's just amazing, these two people connecting to the same being. However, what I'm saying to you is, if you're not an artist, the Aurograph class is probably not the one to sign up for. So just pay attention to that piece of it. I think we're for sure, because we didn't even get into the Mancies, the things you learn, all of that piece of it. But I think we're really kind of out of time with it. But really, it is a place that you will not just develop your psychic mediumship. You will develop your spirit. You will expand and you will grow, and you'll realize that as you're working with spirit, that you yourself are just becoming this beautiful bridge between the world, bringing in more and more fully this spiritual realm into people's everyday lives, into your everyday life. And so I feel like each time I go, I personally, that my bridge gets a little longer and a little longer. And so it's, I do have to warn you that, it's addicting. So that is one thing. If you go, you will want to keep going and going and going. So be careful if it's not something you feel like, you want to develop an addiction for, because it does happen.
I think that is the perfect place to end. I co-sign all of that, and this will be a to be continued, because we love AFC and we're not done talking about it.
That's true. All right. Thanks so much for staying with us. Bye, everybody.